It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 156, February 25th, 2018. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows. Like, fucking, I don't know, 450, All Beer Inside, and Wrestling Cheers. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. Hashtag OSATM. Our two panelists this week, the tried and true favorites of the show, the only ones that actually talk to me. First up, Heavy Set Iron Man.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
Now that we have finally had Black Panther, it's time to get ready for the inevitable. Tread it, run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Here we go. Avengers are back in town very soon. Of course, as well, as per usual, we've got our killer Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
A small suggestion for Heavy's intro. Can you remove the gunfire? Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
No. This is America, okay? No. Okay?
It's in our Second Amendment right to have the sound of gunfire in the background if we want. Yeah.
We'll just leave that there. And yeah. get into the news for this week.
Soulstones and Wakanda. News.
Back to you, fuckers.
Right. Sonic the Hedgehog speeding to movie theaters in 2019. We get an official release date. Paramount's upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog movie now has a release date. According to Hollywood Reporter, the live-action CGI hybrid will be opening in theaters November 15th, 2019. So, first of all, Paramount's got the rights, so I guess Sega must have licensed the rights. I'm not quite sure how that works. Or does Paramount own Sega? Or, like, what? Or isn't Sega, don't they not exist anymore? Like,
no, Sega, as far as I understand, they still exist. They just kind of make games, and they have, I mean, they own their own licenses, but
right.
I think it's Paramount purchased it. It's funny, the reason why I submitted this is because I've been actually in a little nostalgia kick watching a lot of Super Nintendo game reviews and everything on YouTube. And a lot of times I come across ones that talk about the history of Sega. And it's amazing to look at them.
Yeah.
All of us being wrestling fans. You know what Sega reminds me of?
WCW? Yes.
And
yeah. The
fact how, like, they went from being a nothing company going up against Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah.
They introduced Sonic. They fucking just boom. They become.
Have you read the book, The Video Game Wars?
No.
You need to. I don't know if it's an audiobook, and I know you're not a huge fan of, like, regular books. You like your audiobooks. But if it is, you need to check this out, because they talk about, I believe his name was Tom Kalinske, the guy who.
I haven't, like, read the books, but there's a lot of really good YouTube videos out there that.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Going, like, their own, like, they tell stories of what happened, not, like, a side of the, like, well, they talk about how Sega brought in him, and because they were trying to find something that was marketable, and while Sonic almost had this totally different personality, and he almost had a different look and name. All this, I know a little bit of the background, but it's the fact of he was huge, and
it's a lot of it is because of this guy, this marketing guy, who took a console that was literally shitting itself, doing nothing, including Sonic in a bundle for $100. Was it $200? And, like, they went to all these Mall of America tours, like, making Nintendo look like garbage. And it's all fucking a marketing genius.
But
anyway, sorry, go ahead.
My whole point is of how they blew up and then they started going downhill. And I mean, there's stories about that. And
introducing too much hardware, like three different consoles at the same time.
Bad communication between America and Sega of Japan. And I mean, now they're, I mean, they're, they went from being nothing to a juggernaut in the industry all the way pretty much back on the nothing, where they only have their licenses. And the reason why, I mean, that's why I submitted, because I've been watching a lot of that stuff lately. But Sonic is one of those titles that they still, people still know, people still love. I mean, I think they're the actual Genesis titles are the one that people hold higher than anything. But the movie realm is, so I'm like, we haven't even had a proven Nintendo title yet. Movie.
What are you talking about, man? Double Dragon.
My
brother's man.
I mean, people hate that movie, but I don't know. I grew up loving that one, so wait, and it doesn't.
Double Dragon?
No, the other one.
Mario is fucking Double terrible, Dragon. Man.
Well, but when you're watching as a kid, it's
no,
like
for teenage, sure. It's got nostalgia. It's fucking like garbage. It is, does not have rewatchability.
There's not many actual good video game movies out there that I can even think of.
But I think they're working on a Mario movie, and I thought I heard they're working on a Zelda.
No, it won't. unless Nintendo has shifted its position, they, because of the disgrace of the original attempts.
They have shifted their position.
It's possible. Like
they do it, I thought I heard it's going to be animated, which makes the most sense.
Yeah, Zelda, you can't make live action. It'd be too fucking, it'd be tough. I would make it CGI or animated. But again, unless I'm not aware of their new position shift, but apparently Nintendo is still like, they fucking block any attempt at using their IP for any kind of movie or non-video game related stuff.
Here's my thing with the Sonic movie, live action animated hybrid. It's going to be like what, fucking Rocky and Bullwinkle? I don't understand what this movie's going to be. I think it's just going to be a turd that they're going to try and polish and make it a movie. So
it's, you know what? It's an aged property. I don't think it has the popularity that it did, even in like the reiteration of video games. People, yes, there is a nostalgic factor, but I don't think it's strong, and I think it's been too long.
Dateline, January 31st, 2018, Nintendo's partners with Minion Studio to produce animated Super Mario movie.
Interesting. That's definitely a policy shift, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, it may be that they don't want to do live action.
Yeah.
Mario back at the time of the first movie was a little bit everywhere. I mean, obviously you had the video game realm of it, you had the cartoon realm of it, and then you actually had the live action realm of it prior to the movie. There was no consistency. And what we've gotten in a lot of movies in their own and everything, their own universes lately, is consistency. And I think ever since the N64, Mario and Nintendo, and even as general, has tried to stay consistent as possible. And I think that makes most sense. Like, oh, if we're going to do one, yeah. And that article links, because it's from Polygon.com, a website I'm not used to, but they do link you to the official Nintendo of America tweet that is verified. It says Nintendo and Illumination are partnering on a movie starring Mario, co-produced by Shigeru Miyamoto and Chris Meledandri. So
there you go. Cool.
I had heard they had shifted their focus on. I think it might have been like something I've seen on like Nerdist News on Facebook or something. But if they're going to do it, yeah, do animated.
Yeah, because I agree with that.
That's what I think Mario now. You think animated?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Okay. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about a movie that I was a huge fan of. It was an independent movie released primarily on Netflix, or that's where I found out about it. It's called Kung Fury. And apparently they're going to do a feature film length movie now. I guess it was popular enough. And funny enough, Arnold Schwarzenegger apparently has been casted to join already Michael Fassbender and David Hasselhoff, which I think is hilarious. I can't wait to see what they do with this property, because it is absolute nostalgic gold. It is over the top ridiculous. And Schwarzenegger, it just kind of makes sense to have him in here. I'd have him as like a mob boss or something. He could totally play a bad guy in this. And to have a fast, like a serious accredited actor like Michael Fassbender attached to it is amazing as well. But apparently it's going to be shot this summer in Europe and US. Yeah, Oscar nominated Michael Fassbender was fucking... Anyways, yeah, it's an homage to 80s martial arts movies. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to go first day. Heavy set, your thoughts of Schwarzenegger getting casted in this movie?
Didn't I share this one on Facebook? I shared it somehow.
It was in GroupMe. That's GroupMe. Where I got it, but yeah.
Crazy thing is, I wasn't thinking of sharing it for the show. I was just thinking of like, oh, okay. Hey, Remember those two movies that we covered roughly around the same time? I've already seen one movie before now. Here's the other one.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see this. Just I think when they announce a lot of the stuff for the disaster artist, it's like, all right, I'm in on this. I think I had a much warmer reception through the first viewing of Kung Fury. And even if you go back through the archives and find the episode where we did the live commentary for it, you don't even need to really watch it. The audio is plugged in, and I think when it was released, I re-listened to it. It's fun listening. And I need to sit down and rewatch it. It's not even that long. So
it's 25 minutes or something. It's not, I think I saw it at Diamond's Place. I'm trying to remember.
Knuckles.
I'm getting into the ridiculousness of cinema. Like just some over-the-top shit. I'm just enjoying for what it is. And that's what this is just stupid nostalgia. But I think these guys get it. It's if done correctly with a moderate budget, I think it could actually make a bit of money. Carp, your thoughts?
Yeah, if they go Deadpool style where it's a lower budget, you know, the movie's kind of aware that it's this wacky, over-the-top homage to time-traveling kung fu action flick.
Yeah.
Sandberg, you know, he's perfect for the Kung Fury role.
Yeah.
As for Arnie, I mean, he did take on Hitler in the last one. Maybe Arnie could be an uber soldier of the Hitler himself, you know, as the ultimate bad guy type thing.
Yeah.
Fassbender, I mean, obviously you have him as the captain or something.
So. No, here's the funny thing. The I forget what his name is, but it's one of the Lonely Island guys who actually played Hitler. So
Jorma.
Yeah, you could totally get him again to play him in like the big budget version. Well, big budget, like the full length version. Thought he did pretty good. So fuck you, Kung Fury. So good, so fucking good. Is this the police? Fuck you. I love it. All right, yeah, go check that out. Heavy. We also have another big news item that you want to mention. It's regarding, I'm trying to remember now.
Really, dude? He told you like 37 seconds ago.
I have no short-term memory. You know this.
Jurassic World 3's release date?
Oh, yes, yes. Heavy, discuss.
What was that? I stepped away for a second.
Could you discuss your last news story regarding Jurassic World? We have big news.
I didn't have it pulled up.
Universal Pictures has announced the release date for the third Jurassic World film. Ahead of the second one's release, the studio revealed on Wednesday that the third film has set down roots for a June 11th, 2021 release date. The announcement comes 4 months before Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom hits theaters. Okay, the writing in the article is wrong. That film, they wrote that Finn opens, that film opens maybe on June 22nd.
Shape of Water.
Or Sharknado. They're getting ready for Sharknado 6 this summer. Nonetheless, opens June 22nd and will star Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, James Cromwell, Ted Levine, Justice Smith, Geraldine Chaplin, Danielle Pineda, Toby Jones, Rafi Spall, BD Wong, and Jeff Goldblum. Welcome to Jurassic World, the Fallen Kingdom, with all the wonder, adventures, and thrills synonyms. Oh, this is for the synopsis of the second film, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, a third one already. I'm going to say no shit to that, because I don't know if anybody's seen the trailer for Fallen Kingdom, but holy fuck, it looks awesome.
Not my cup of tea, so I'm going to abstain. Heavy set. Let's get your thoughts.
You don't like Jurassic World at all?
Nope. Don't like it. I've not seen any of the... Well, I've seen bits and pieces. It does not interest me in the least.
Did dinosaurs scare him? He's going to have
I'm not
dinosaurs.
Scared of dinosaurs, asshole. He's, I just don't... So I'm not interested in it. I don't...
T-Rex might eat me.
He's scared of the raptors. They're scary.
I have the same arm length as a raptor, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, at least it's not the T-Rex.
Yeah.
I'm not really huge on it. I got a friend who's like absolutely a diehard. But the funny thing is he's like a really bad skeptic on it. He didn't like Jurassic World.
Okay.
And his initial reaction when I sent him the link to the graphic of the date announcement of June 11th, 2021, he said, and I quote, "Let's slow down now and see if the next one deserves another trilogy." Like, it sold enough tickets to where they're like, oh, yeah, we're making a third one. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it. And especially with Chris Pratt and all everything he's involved with. Dude's fucking busy as fuck.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the hot actor right now. He's got all kinds of properties, so he's money. All right, let's get into our movie review of the week. I've recently seen The Shape of Water. Has anybody else seen anything this week?
Holy shit, you've seen a movie.
I know, right? It's definitely a monumental moment of
is
the
there,
show.
Um, Do you have the sound clip of just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit? I think myself and Heavy Set. I think myself and Heavy Set saw this small little independent Marvel Disney feature, something about an Avenger character or something about Panthers who are black.
Oh, whoa, racist.
Wait.
The Lion King coming to America.
Yeah.
Under the, all right.
Totally the wrong movie.
I know, shut up. who wants to review first?
I think you should review Shape of Water.
Yeah, okay. Since
we haven't heard you do a movie review
in
about 145 episodes.
I'd have to check that, but you might be right on that math.
All this water fasting, I figured you would have seen The Shape of Water like really quick.
Well, actually, you figured Charlie would have seen it more because she's a pescatarian, but okay.
But you have to ask her first.
Yes, because she doesn't like to share. Okay, so we went to this movie on a whim. Yeah, it was just happy hour drinking beers, and we're like, hey, what's playing at the local cinema? Let's go check it out. We saw The Shape of Water, and I remember Carp's raving review, him saying, like, fuck, this movie's really fucking good. I wasn't expecting that. I recommend you go see it. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go see The Shape of Water. We all agreed. We went there. And I'll give you my review, and I'll also give you thoughts from the Peanut Gallery, Charlie and Phil specifically. And Phil's comments were hilarious. So for me, I really enjoyed the fact that it was nothing that I was expecting it to be. I knew there was going to be a fish involved. I knew that there might have been some intimacy with the fish, but that was pretty much all I knew. It, like Carp says, it was like different movies in one. It was a lot of subtle hints of like anti-gay back in the day, just like blasting like a visible minorities. There's the main character is mute. So that was interesting. And, you know, putting sign language in the majority of the movie and just integrating that as well was different. The fish thing was fucking very, and not realizing that it was primarily coming in that it was a monster movie. So the fish, the whole incorporating with the fish, and then it was funny because kind of Charlie was into really rooting for kind of the fish and the protagonist up until the fact that the protagonist and the fish kind of got together. And I mean, it's not graphic in the sense where you don't see like penetration, but like the woman's clearly nude and she's kind of like getting with the fish a bit, you know, and so you hear the progression of Charlie like, oh my God. She's going to sleep with the fish. Oh my God, she's sleeping with the fish. Oh my God. And for her, I think it went kind of overboard with the fish fucking because I think she's a bit of a racist. She's anti-fish. And so like she, in her mind, women and fish should just never be able to get together, which I think is quite closed-minded.
She's totally against the LGBTQF society.
Yeah, the QF. So, yeah, the fish.
Or LGBTQ, maybe A for amphibian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's 2018. If you want to fuck a fish, fuck a fish.
I'm disgusted by her. Yeah, I'm going to spit right in her face next time I see her.
I think she's closed-minded. I think it's ridiculous. It's a new day. It's a new era. And everybody's coming out as what they are, and they're getting supported. But unfortunately, this person, you know, doesn't get supported by somebody who I thought was open-minded. So she kind of shat on it at that point. I liked it because even at the end of it, I'm still like, I don't know where I stand on it. And the last time I felt like that was Red States by Kevin Smith, and leaving that movie like not knowing what to think, and leaving this one like the same way, where do I like this movie? Do I not like it? Like, it was well acted, especially Michael Shannon as the antagonist, like FBI or CIA kind of henchman, you know? That it was kind of funny because at the end, all you hear, and you know, spoiler alert, it's been out long enough. So anyway, so when Michael Shannon's character shoots the fish and shoots the fucking protagonist, all you hear from Phil's end is like, yes! And I'm looking back like, really? You're going for Michael Shannon's character? He's like, yeah, but he had a family, man. He's just helping his country. I'm like, are you fucking serious? This guy's like the most black and white, racist, fucking, rapey, fucking scumbag. You know what I mean? Like, he's an absolute piece of shit, and like, Phil's rooting him on. I'm like, it's like rooting for Potter and It's a Wonderful Life. You can't go for Michael Shannon's. He's the most cookie cutter bad guy. And he's like, yeah, but he's got a family, man. It was hilarious. And we were debating it like a couple hours after. I'm like, how can you go for Michael Shannon's character in this movie?
Like, even the weird speech about, like, there's two types of man in the world. One who washes his hand before he touches his dick to piss. And one who washes his hand after. And it's like, what the hell is going on?
Short of him kicking a dog, they did everything in their power to make this guy an asshole and fill roots for him, which I thought was fucking hilarious. So I think he just likes the bad guys. I'm telling you, he must have watched It's a Wonderful Life and be like, I feel sorry for this Potter guy. You know, he's got a hard life. I'm telling you, man. But yeah, I left the movie not knowing what to think, which makes me enjoy. That's why I give it an 8. Charlie, once the fish fucking happened, she went downhill and just could not get over it. So I think she gave it like a 5. And then Phil, because Michael Shannon lost, didn't like it either. But Carp, I appreciate your recommendation. I enjoyed it. And I recommend everybody check it out.
Like, I'm just talking to Charlie, and she's like, I don't understand why you said it was 9 movies in one. It's just one storyline. I'm like, no. It's a spy thriller with a creature feature, with a romance, with drama, with, you know, societal undertones. No, it just has one story. I'm like, okay, you obviously do not understand words.
She couldn't get past right the fish now. Fucking. She couldn't get
I
past.
I think so.
Like, I could see a permanent shift in her opinion, in her mood, the second that fish started getting it on. The second that happened, nothing but negativity coming out of her mind. It was like, if she was in the 60s and a black guy kissed a white chick, she would have been, I can't deal with this. I hate this movie. Now in 2018, because she's a pescatarian, fish can't fuck humans. So whatever. Anyways, the only scene I would say was unnecessary was when they were explaining how the fish dick worked. It was like a minute of like, well, how'd you get it in? Well, the fish dick kind of does this. Like, that was completely ridiculous. But apart from that, the rest was fine. I was okay with the fish fucking. It worked. It somehow worked in the story. And it was just, yeah, like I said, it left me with a lot of questions. And then reading up on it later, they're talking about how like the colors were so significant in the movie and stuff. Something which I completely overlooked, which was nice to know after the fact. And yeah, I thought it was a nice change from the norm of what we're used to seeing. So I thought it was good.
Do you feel it deserves all the Oscar buzz it got?
I think Michael Shannon should have got a Best Supporting Character role because he was a fucking evil son of a bitch. And you're definitely like getting emotionally like, fuck this guy, you know, except for Phil, who's rooting for him for some reason. Well, whatever.
Because Phil was jealous that he got to grab Michael Shannon got to grab his own wife's boob.
Exactly. And then, I don't know.
Even the part where he's like, he's banging her, she's talking, he's like, just shut up. And he's like, shutting his wife. Like,
how do you root for that guy? Like, it makes no sense. I think Phil's like the antagonist guy. He just roots for the bad guy. You know, and there's everybody's got to root for somebody. All right, Black Panther, Carp, go ahead.
Yeah, it was awesome. One of the better ones. I don't want to say too much because it's like still fresh.
Yeah, it just came out. Well, yeah.
I mean, you definitely got to see it. Oh, Michael B. Jordan as the bad guy, as Killmonger, fucking did an amazing job. I can't say, I want to a joke, but it's going to kind of ruin a part. So I'm going to straight up say it was one of the better ones. It's definitely up there. It makes me looking forward to even more of Avengers Infinity War and potentially a Black Panther sequel. I mean, if you've seen any of them, you should check it out. There's a reason this movie made $235 million over 4 days.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that number? Because I think it's getting blown out of proportion. Like, it's a solid number, but people are saying, oh, like, amazing record. I'm like, no, I don't think it's that big. Like, it's a big number, and it's definitely sequel worthy. But I think it...
Well, I mean, it deals with some, you know, social, societal issues in the movie, obviously, right? Because it's a predominantly black movie. So I think the numbers are what they are because the African-American community are like, yo, we have our own superhero finally. Let's go check this out.
Yeah.
You know, the diversity, fuck. Me and Watsuki tried to go to Angry Nail for a 9:25 showing. We got there at 10 after, sold out, rushed to LaSalle. Got the 3D version. That's my only complaint about this movie.
Yeah.
Is maybe it's because it's LaSalle and it's older 3D technology, but the 3D was shit. But that could be because of LaSalle. And it could also be because I adapt to 3D so quickly. To me, it's a useless $3 to $4 extra I'm spending. No,
it's definitely a gimmick to make more money. And I have I usually get a lot of eye strain, so I'm not a huge fan. Even if it's the newer technology, I still get my eyes get fucked up. So I don't like it.
I mean,
I don't think it's a lot of supposedly like 3D effects coming at you as much. I always feel like it gives more depth behind, like you can see behind the screen. So when something's so far away, like it looks like it's that distance.
But don't you, because I have this thing where I not adapt, but like, you know, when you first go into, say, an IMAX screen and you're like, oh shit, this is big, you know? But I find you lose that effect after like maybe 15 minutes or so, where it just becomes like a regular screen. You get hypnotized by the movie, and the fact that it's a huge screen kind of, you overlook it. And I find 3D in general is kind of like that too. It's an initial gimmick. It's nothing that is worth that extra money. And I'm actually going to be watching this in 3D in a technology called D-Box. I'm not sure if you have that yet, Heavy. It's like,
yeah, you sound like who would love D-Box.
Yeah, well, it's not really because I'm more of a 2D movie, but I just wanted to try it.
Because old school wants 2Ds, not just 1D in his box.
Does Will like 3D in his...
Will loves 3D at all times, in every hole.
All right. Nonetheless, storyline's great. It helps build into the Avengers universe. I think we got a hint of where that missing stone that nobody's seen yet. I think we kind of finally got a hint of where it is.
We have a hint, but this was me leaving the movie theater.
Where the fuck is the goddamn soul stone?
Yeah, I think it's buried in that vibranium rock. That's what I think. Anyways, minus the shit 3D. If I were to rate it on just storyline alone, I would give it a 4.25 out of 5.
Well, okay.
But because of the bad 3D, I have to drop it to a 3.5.
I guess I have to ask now.
Unfortunately, a lovely couple to my right decided to speak in whatever goddamn fucking language that wasn't Canadian, English or French. Right. It was Hindi or Punjabi.
American. God.
And
these fucking foreigners weren't speaking American.
They just would not shut up. During quiet parts, I could hear the woman go, and the guy go, and like,
what are they, like, South Park? Like,
well, it was either Hindi or Punjabi. Okay. It's one of those two. I'm not going to say which one specifically, but they were speaking. Colin. I don't want to say Indian because that's super racist.
They were speaking Kali.
They were speaking great Kali. And it was annoying.
They're speaking butter chicken.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see it again in just 2D. Maybe either an early showing at like 3 in the afternoon or a super late showing.
You should go to a Cinebabies. That'd be perfect for you.
It's a good thing Canada has gun control laws because, yeah.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
Me and Cinebabies? No.
You and Cinebabies would be the funniest fucking thing ever.
So, shut up. Shut your fucking kid up. Just
shut put your fucking your mouth.
Just put your kid on your titty to shut them up.
Or I'll start sucking your titty.
But yeah, definitely go. If you've seen all the Avengers, you're going to want to see this in its big glory and add to the probably 500 million North American it's going to make in the end.
Heavy set. Do you agree?
Remember not talking in movie theaters?
Nope.
It's been a while.
Actually, I'll start with my rating being exactly the same. I give it a 3.5. I thought it was a fun movie. The opening scene reminded me of Coming to America. And then there were aspects of the movie that reminded me of The Lion King, a.k.a. for the, you want to get technical, Hamlet.
The circle.
Kinda.
Did he raise his kid up like Simba? Are you fucking serious?
No, it's I say kind of because it's more of the group setting. That's a ceremony that was.
Okay.
It looks like that's another early thing in the movie. Killmonger is a really great villain. There's a moment when him and Black Panther are fighting towards the end, and I'm just like, fucking get him, Black Panther, get him.
Well, but, if Phil was there, he'd probably be rooting for Michael B. Jordan. Just saying.
But I think one of my biggest gripes, and it's just where I am with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is the fact they
do not officially, it's not official on where the Soul Stone is. There are hints, not say hints, you can guess that it's in Wakanda, and there's reasons, well, like the vibranium and everything, and the heart-shaped herb, that's where the Soul Stone is, but it doesn't have to be. There's also interviews from the director coming way before this movie, and him basically saying there's not going to be the Soul Stone because that's just too much for, you know, Wakanda. They already have vibranium. They don't need the Soul Stone. So we'll see the meteor. I mean, this is like early in the movie too. You know, that meteor that they talk about, it could be just vibranium. But at the same time, the Soul Stone could be in with it too. I loved all the white characters of the movie, both of them. I say the joke because
yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, like Claw for me, that, you know, his weapon was straight out of the comics almost too, and I was like, yes.
The one note that I did have coming out of this movie is I really want to see in Infinity War a moment where Everett Ross and Doctor Strange cross paths. For those who don't know, that is Sherlock and Watson in the series.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, yeah, give it a 3.5. Still really good. A great way to go into the Infinity War. There are two post-credit scenes, and under the last one, I felt like it could have been more, but it's still not bad. It's definitely we're leading into it. It could very well also be a scene that's in the Infinity War, and also foreshadows what could possibly be the future for Winter Soldier, as in this looks like they won't give him Cap shield, which was a lot of people were thinking back when Civil War happened. It seems like they might go with the White Wolf storyline, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people who listen, unless they know it, are going to know what that storyline is. I actually was talking to Dave, and I think they're going to give it to Falcon, the shield, but that's me, because I'm pretty sure we're watching Chris Evans go bye-bye at the end of Infinity War.
Wouldn't it be funny if they just got Killmonger to do it?
You never know.
Have two flames do it.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be hilarious.
So that's my review for that, and you would have probably forgotten I was forced to go see a 50 Shades movie.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to review the whole series. Over the past couple weeks, I have watched all three movies. The last episode, I talked about the first movie, and then since then, I think a weekend, one day we watched two, and then the next day we went out and seen three. The first movie is horrible. Completely fucking sucks. It's kind of like what Old School said when we were talking about it, is it's just mostly this contract negotiation. And
still.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying that's the first movie. That's the
right,
one. That
right. Yeah.
So they're talking about this contract, and okay, yeah, she shows her boobs a lot. One of my biggest gripes about the whole series, it's just the same two people fucking. So I've heard so many women be like, oh, it's just like porn. I mean, you like porn? I mean, you like the movies? Porn has more than two people fucking in it. You have multiple scenes normally with multiple men and women having sex.
Yeah.
It's not the same scene over. Fucking The Room has more variety in their sex scene than these three fucking movie has, and she only puts a dick in her mouth once. And that's in the third movie. Granted, you don't see it because obviously regular release movie. Amanda pointed this out to me when we were watching two, because she's like, I don't think in any of these movies she's ever given him head. And I was like, holy shit.
Boo.
She goes down on him in the third movie.
Fuck, it took long enough.
Yeah. So the first movie, I think, is just complete shit, because it's just all about that. It's all about this beginning of a relationship and how fucked up he is, how fucked up Sexter is. If I were to rate that movie, I give it a one. Wow. One star out of five.
Was it just because of the blowjob, or?
No, it's because she won't put it in her butt, right?
Oh, fuck that.
No, she puts it in her butt in the first one. That's 50 Shades of Grey. That's just the first movie. She puts the dick in her mouth in the third movie.
Well, there you go, ladies. If you were anticipating
it. Why does it take three movies for you to put a dick in your mouth?
Yeah. So the first movie is the one that I rate as one star.
Well, I guess it's the three movie rule too. Eh? If you take a girl up for the third movie, she better take that dick in her mouth.
Well, I mean, she takes it every other place in the fucking movie. Anyway, two and three are different. I like two and three more. Now, if we were to take these movies and we would take out the whole the same two people fucking all the time, so right. take those out of it.
Oh, hi,
man. And also take the S&M shit out of it with it, too. You actually have a decent movie, a decent two movies. It's predictable.
I think it's a how-to for contract negotiations. They should make it into a YouTube video series.
No. The contract negotiation is done after one.
Okay.
Yeah, because he wants – the whole thing is he wants this submissive partner. He doesn't want a relationship, and right. she tries best because she fucking –
Yeah, because women want to change people. Yeah, so yeah. you're gonna change sex. Well, good luck with that.
She technically changes him a little because he won't fully commit to like everything
That's
on his.
That's how you know a woman wrote it, because she actually in real life that would never happen.
He fully won't commit to her, and she kind of does the smart thing, just like she says, no, I'm not doing this contract. It's nothing. He's still fucking madly in love with her, and he eventually gives in, and he goes, okay, fine, I'll, you know, this is like the beginning of the second movie where he says, okay, I'll be a boyfriend, I'll do that, I don't want that, but I rather have that than not having you.
So can you take my dick in your mouth? No, not till the third movie, she says.
But in the second movie, you get the added storyline of a psychotic, I want to say ex-lover, but it's just another girl that was in under one of those contracts too, and she was fucking psycho, and eventually I think he terminated her and like got rid of her,
like literally, and, or
well, no, dun, dun, didn't get rid, dun, dun, like, dun. Like got rid of her out of his life.
He pink slipped her, get it?
You're fired.
she in the second movie, she starts like stalking them, and eventually she gets taken care of. She almost kills her, the fucking, whatever her fucking name is.
The whore.
Yeah, the whore. But instead, because like she had her guy by gunpoint, he steps in and like calms her down, like almost steps back in the sexual role. And she like gets on her knees in a very submissive way.
And she sucks his dick.
Well, there's that aspect of, like in that movie where, you know, you have this like crazy ex-lover. And then you have the moment I seen this dude in the second movie, he is her boss. And I'm like, oh, this dude's going to fucking like hit on her. And, you know, he's going to want to get a piece of that. And he's not, because she's obviously in love with fucking Gray Dude. Well, that happens. And also, convenient storyline, Christian Gray buys, because he's like this billionaire, buys the company that she works for.
Okay.
Now he's like in the process of becoming this dude's like boss of a boss of a boss, basically being above him. He makes advances towards her, threatens her, blackmails her job and all this kind of stuff. And of course, hey, she leaves right into Christian Grey's arms. And oh, okay, well, we'll take care of this. Got the dude fired.
Oh, what a dick.
Long story short, this dude becomes obsessed and keeps trying to kill Christian Grey, and that's what leads into the second movie. There are a lot of turns that I'd seen coming, and when me and Amanda would be talking about it, like there was this driver of
wrestling.
Yeah,
you got contract negotiations, you got like heel turns, you got people getting fired.
You got things that are just really, really predictable, and it's the obvious people of who it's going to be. Every person that was like made some sort of like turn, I was like, like I said,
is Vince McMahon writing this?
In the third movie, there's this mysterious person following them in a car, and they can never get a
identity. Was it Rikishi?
They never get the identity of who it is.
That's what I'm saying. It's fucking Rikishi.
No. They don't get the identity at first.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, it's a woman. So you think it's this one other random character. And I'm like, no, I think it's the HR woman at her work. I mean, I was like, no, it's either her or this other person. Turns out it was the HR woman. She was just like, how did you know? I was like, I don't know, because she looked like a bitch, like the whole time she's been around. I mean, they explained it. It's just not a horrible movie. It's kind of predictable. But if you just take out those elements, I would actually rate the other two movies.
I'm about to put you on short-term disability.
I'd rate the other two movies 2.5s each.
All right.
But yeah, the first one is.
I'd give an extra point for the blowjob. I agree. All right. That was enlightening. Thank you very much, Heavyset. Ladies, check it out. And dudes, I guess, are into that S&M. All right. Box office. Let's talk about it. Break it down. No big surprise here. Black Panther led the week with a weekend gross of $202 million, with a worldwide gross in one weekend of $462 million. Peter Rabbit number two at a.
What if they waited till November to release Black Panther? And like, let's say they did around the Thanksgiving weekend. That's a good weekend. Yeah. So let's say it came out on Black Friday.
That would have got some buzz. Look,
I mean, it did come out during Black History Month.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Or was that aspect?
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't a crowded weekend, so it was a good. I thought it was a good time to release it. Peter Rabbit.
Hold on. If I say something, will you censor it?
Absolutely.
But if it came out on Tuesday,
yeah, we'll be censoring that. Peter Rabbit, $17 million gross this week. Total domestic of $48 million on a budget of $50 million. It has a worldwide gross of pretty much the same thing. 50 Shades Freed, $17 million this week, down 55%. It's got a total gross of $76 million domestically. A lot better on the worldwide market. A lot of dirty French chicks. $194 million worldwide gross for a total of $274 million. On a $55 million smut budget, whatever you call it. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Kevin Smith?
Yeah, smudget. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. You said a lot of dirty French girls because France pulled in 8.6. The Germans pulled in 11.3, and the Italians pulled in 14.5. Wow. So if anything, the WOPs and the Germans are filthier than the French.
The Germans.
So.
Yeah,
so
well, the Germans are more restrictive. I see why they do well. I probably did well in Japan, too. Jumanji. Total worldwide of almost a billion at this point. Yeah, wasn't expecting that. So they're somehow making a sequel to this. It's way too much money. 377 domestic in its ninth week. 7 million this week. The 1517, the Paris.
Wait, hold on. Didn't they already say they were going to make a Jumanji sequel, even though... According to Heavyset, it should be the end of it.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, that's the Taken film.
Here's how you simply write it. So the second one was a video game. The first one's obviously still a board game. You obviously have some sort of hipsters at a hipster bar, at a video game / board game bar, play both games. You have the crossover of the video game into the board game world. Bam, Jumanji 3. I just wrote your fucking movie, Hollywood, you owe me $1 billion.
You just wrote that 2 weeks ago when we talked about it.
I know. Well, just in case the writers weren't listening to the last episode. All
right. Give me $1 billion.
There you go. The 1517 to Paris, Clint Eastwood's American jerk-off film, total gross of $25 million total, made 7.5 this week on a budget of $30 million. Surprisingly, no foreign gross for this. Okay, the number six goes to The Greatest Showman for $5 million. It's got a total domestic of $154. Early Man debuted with $3.1 million. So yeah, and I'm sure that budget ain't $3.1 million. This is going to be a big loss for the LGF. Okay. Maze Runner, The Death Cure, $2.6 million, total domestic of $54. Got a way better worldwide of $259. Okay, Winchester. What's Winchester about? Oh, looks like a horror movie. Carp.
So the Winchester is about the family that created the Winchester shotguns or rifles. The woman who is the last known family member of the Winchester dynasty, starts building a mansion. And she has them add on rooms for all the ghosts that are killed by her guns.
Okay.
So it's supposed to, like, this is supposed to be a real mansion somewhere in, I think it's Massachusetts.
Massachusetts?
I slipped. Anyways, I think it's somewhere in one of the New England states. Right. This is supposed to be a real place. Like, there's doors that go to nowhere. There's stairs that just end halfway through. There's like half torn down walls to create more rooms. It's supposed to be like a really weird place to visit. And people, I mean, this is all obviously ghost hunter shit, but they're saying like, it's really just weird to see this. All of a sudden there's a door that's 5 feet in the air, but there's no stairs to get to that door.
Fuck.
But yet the door's open. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of horror, check it out. Probably a small budget, but these do, we've talked about, $3 to $5 million budgets grossing 25, 30 million. So,
plus it also has Helen Mirren in it. So,
ooh, interesting. You know. Okay. And rounding off the top 10, The Post, $1.9 million with, this was the Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks movie. My mom is a huge Meryl Streep movie fan, so she gave it a really good review. It's got a worldwide of $135 on a $50 million budget. Movies coming out for the week of...
Forgot the Jeebus movie that came out this week.
Yeah, didn't make the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So for movies coming out the 2nd of March, first one would be a crime action drama called Death Wish. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts. Oh, Bruce Willis.
Produced by Eli Roth.
Yeah, produced by Eli Roth, starring Bruce Willis, Vincent D'Onofrio, Elizabeth Shue. Oh, I haven't seen her since, The Saint?
Have I told you I love you?
Yes, Dad, you've told me like a billion times.
Honey? You please come down here?
Doc, something has happened. You can't go in there.
Dad, where's Mom?
I love my family. I failed to protect them.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kersey, nothing yet.
So there's nothing that I can do? Is that what you're saying?
You can have faith.
How'd faith work out for them?
If a man really wants to protect what's his, he has to do it for himself.
The men who did it are out there. I'm gonna hunt them down. One by one.
I had homies in the 11th grade doing gun trades out at the dock.
We're closed, pal.
You're Joey, right?
Yeah.
Well, kill my wife!
Who else was there?
I don't know anything else.
You're not gonna kill me.
No, Jack is.
You can't deny me now.
You got caught in some crossfire?
Yeah. He said next time it ain't gonna be my leg.
You are gonna be all right, I promise. On a mission, no other way they can stop
me now. You're not a cop!
Somebody has to do it! Step away, you can't take
the heat on the battleground. Everybody's watching this viral video.
Is this dude right for taking the law into his own hands?
A hero.
He saved my life.
Or is it wrong?
You're cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
I'll say, someone took my wife. Everyone involved is going to pay.
You look much better getting out socializing.
Not so much.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Okay, I will.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, but isn't Death Wish, wasn't this a string of movies in the 80s starring, what's his name?
Bronson.
Ronson, yeah. So this is just a rehashing of...
He straight up said it's a remake.
I mean, listen, these movies did well back in the day. This is Bruce Willis's wheelhouse, vigilante. You know, he's played kind of like the cop. This is a rehashing of kind of the Die Hard, you know.
He's the Punisher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except I think in Chicago instead of New York.
Yeah, it's essentially, I mean, it's not a new type of storyline. This is Taken, you know what I mean? It's same idea. But this is his wheelhouse. And if you're a fan of this type of action, adventure, violence, retribution, vigilanteism, it's going to be up your fucking alley. But for me, I don't know if I go in the theater for this. I'm a fan of Bruce Willis, but there's nothing like original or motivating for me to see it. Maybe a Cheapy Tuesday for me. So it'd be a yay for Cheapy Tuesday. Carp.
Oh, yeah. The fact that it's Eli Roth doing this type of movie, I'm definitely in. It's just a matter of if I'm going to catch it the Friday or Friday after, because there's another movie coming out that weekend that I'm even more tempted to see.
Heavy set. Is this on your radar?
This is on my radar, and I do plan on going to go see it.
Awesome. Okay. Our next one up, the large release Red Sparrow starring Jennifer Lawrence and anybody else? Jeremy Irons?
Joel Egerton,
yeah. Okay, let's check out the trailer and get our thoughts. Oh, I know this one. This is a, she plays like a...
It's Black Widow.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Honey, Mama, what is it?
I have to go away for a while.
I was told to take a man to a hotel. They said that he was an enemy of the state.
Carp, accent on 10, go.
Hers?
Yeah, I give it like a 3.
Yeah, like a 4.
Yeah.
Take off your dress.
And in exchange, my mother would get the doctor she needed. Instead, they cut his throat. There could be no witnesses. So they gave me a choice. Die or become a sparrow.
From this day forward, you will become sparrows. Weapons in a global struggle for power. You'll be trained in psychological manipulation. You must learn to push yourself beyond all limitation. Take off your clothes. When we are finished with you, the person you were will no longer exist. Every human being is a puzzle of need. You must become the missing piece, and they will tell you anything.
You have a gift. You know how to survive. This is what you were meant to do. There is a traitor in the government. His last known contact is an American. Get close to him.
I thought I saw you in the pool yesterday.
Are we going to become friends?
Is that what you want?
She's a sparrow.
You only matter because of what you can do for them. Work with me and make these men pay.
You are better at this than any of us. Your only problem is you have a soul.
We can't trust a word that comes out of her mouth.
There's something else. We're not seeing.
If she's compromised, she will be eliminated.
What have you done?
You belong to them. They'll never let you go.
I'll find a way.
This is definitely more interesting than the Bruce Willis movie. I'm probably going to be a yay, and this week or next week, this is definitely on my radar. Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, especially after how much I enjoyed Atomic Blonde, this is definitely up there for me. It is J-Law's first attempt at an accent in any of the movies that I know she's done, so I'll give her the benefit of the doubt of her she's at least trying. Great supporting cast, too. So, and apparently she walks around naked for a couple of, like, a solid minute and a half of the movie, so that's pretty helpful, too.
Yeah, no, definitely. She can pull that off, for sure. Heavy set.
I'm just purposely rubbing my beard against the mic.
You fucking jag off.
This is an A for me.
Wow. Okay. Wasn't expecting that.
I'm not really a big fan of Jennifer Lawrence.
All right.
It's not Black Panther.
That's all right. Plugs.
But I mean, us white people are pretty terrible. So.
No, I agree. I apologize for the entire white race. Okay. I'm sorry. Let's get to Plug's final thoughts. Carp, go ahead.
All Beer Inside, episode 20.
Rubbing.
Not me. Say it My again. Beard's yes. trimmed.
I don't know. I'm hearing it. Anyways, just say it again. Say it again.
You're just hearing things. You're insane. You've lost your mind. All Beer Inside 23 should be out by the time this is out. And our first YouTube video will also be released. I will provide the link on the website of allbeerinside.com where you could find all our past episodes and you could buy stuff on an Amazon link to support your favorite beer drinkers on the internet, as well as for me at Killer Carpe Diem, All Beer Inside, at All Beer Inside, allbeerinside at gmail.com, or All Beer Inside on Instagram, too. We're going to try and get that up and going. CFL Easy Picks is dead, but CFL is doing a lot of stuff, which is pissing me off because we kill it, and then CFL does yeah. stuff.
It is the off season, so.
Yeah.
And when the NFL's in their off season, they can actually get probably a little bit more shit done, try to lure a bunch of players over.
Exactly. And finally, StableWars.com. Always looking for new members. The season just started, but you could still play the... No, it'll be too late for the Elimination Chamber play-per-view, but there will be prizes for the WrestleMania play-per-view. It's a DVD, but it's still a prize, and you don't have to pay to win a prize.
Yeah, just idiot, get in there. All right, Wrestling Cheers, heavy set.
450 Podcast, Keith.
I don't know what you're talking about, go ahead.
Am I allowed to say that name on this podcast?
Guess. I mean, you know.
It's no, his 450 podcast is his other personality.
Yeah, exactly. We actually don't speak to each other. I have no idea what he does, and he has no idea.
I actually believe that. Yeah. You're pretty much just Wrestling Cheers is working hard on that. I'm trying to get for the weekend.
Ah, okay. Working for the catch.
I'm hoping that we can get Pierre in AIW. No, that's
Pierre, hold on, Pierre the Moose or Pierre? You mean Kip Becker, Pierre?
Yeah, amazing. Dude, he's wrestling again.
That's hilarious.
In Black Label Pro, not that long ago, he's going to be at Joey Janela's Spring Break and for WrestleMania weekend.
That's amazing. I was drunk at a bar in Dorval, and he was bouncing, and I'm like, "You're the fucking best," and he's like, thank you. And that was our interaction.
Go ahead. I want to meet him just so I can complete the Quebecer set.
Which is amazing. I haven't even met Jacques yet. How fucking sad is that?
But the fact that when I met him, I told him he was the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all the
times.
And like, he got the biggest fucking laugh out of it. Like, I was ribbing him. And I was like, God.
You don't get it, man. W-I-R.
And Jimmy Hart was right next to him. He's like, Jimmy. This guy just said I'm the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all the time. So that little moment was fun. But yeah, just pretty much Wrestling Cheers. That's all I've been working on. I've mentioned before, eventually we'll get the Hanging with Heavies out. Kind of working on upgrading a little bit more of my home setup. Nothing big, but there's a couple things that I want to buy to actually help separate my home setup and my road setup so I don't have to take anything, certain things back and forth.
Awesome, man. Check it out, wrestlingcheers.com. Do you have the direct?
No, we've had this conversation. To buy wrestlingcheers.com, it's like a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, fuck that. TrainingTopicsNetwork.com/wrestlingcheers, I think. Just go to TrainingTopicsNetwork.com.
WrestlingCheers.podbean.com.
Go to WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Check out the direct link. Great episodes. I actually listened to one with a dude that was on another show. What the fuck is his name? Yeah, like El Diablo.
El Jordano Diablo. His name is Jordan.
That was a fun, because, you know, like, I don't obviously follow the Cleveland wrestling scene, but this one episode was fun because it was more of a generic or general discussion, you know? So I liked it.
I thought some of our other recent episodes have been a little bit more general discussion. Had a local wrestler on named Joshua Singh. We get into whole movie discussion because he's an avid moviegoer. That's something that he does on the side of YouTube movie reviews when he's not wrestling. Okay.
I'll check that one out then.
And then local comedian Steve Guy, who is also the ring announcer for AIW. We talk a little bit of AIW stuff, but we have a mutual friend and we talk about a story about him because he hates Triple H. Absolutely hates Triple H. And we get into the story of them going to WrestleMania every year. And how when they went to the one in San Francisco against Triple H and Sting, like the reaction he had when Sting lost. Fuckers.
Awesome, man. I'm going to check those two out. All right. You can find us at oldschoolmovies.net for your direct listening, downloading, subscribing. Also, of course, the brand new trendingtopicsnetwork.com. You can email us, give us your comments on this episode or any movies you've seen. oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmoviesdotnet. Use the hashtag OSATM, which I follow. And of course, we don't have a lot of activity. The last one was Heavyset mentioning how we were in Cleveland. So let's get some up-to-date tweets. Use that hashtag. Let us know about movies coming out that you're excited to see, movies that you've seen, any retro movies or questions. You know, I don't watch a lot of movies lately anyways, but the panel of us three combined could probably answer your inquiry. So for Heavyset and Mr. Carpe Diem, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
It's time once again for the Oscars, Hollywood's annual award show for the best films released between late November and late December. Only one of these 9 films will win the coveted title of Best Picture, unless the guy in charge of the results screws up because he was on his phone backstage and they accidentally give it to someone else.
There's a mistake. This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Best Oscars ever. Here are your nominees. You've seen Dunkirk's breathless portrayal of heroism in the face of death. Now, prepare for a movie about all the talking that was going on at the same time.
Would you stop interrupting me while I am interrupting you?
And get ready to see Gary Oldman acting like you've never seen him before.
in a fat suit. Hey, I'll take wearing a fat suit to win an Oscar over eating a bison liver or something really bad, like being Casey Affleck. Grumpy Old Man. From visionary director Guillermo del Toro, who's contractually obligated to be credited as visionary director Guillermo del Toro, comes a love story between a woman and the fish prisoner in her lab, which sounds creepy when you strip the art away from it. But trust me, in the context of the story, you will totally be okay with this woman having sex with a fish man. It's actually a really beautiful story about finding your voice and... Aw, man, this is gonna be known as the fish-banging movie, isn't it? The Fish-Banging Movie. Set during the Great Italian Shirt Shortage of 1983 comes a touching romance between this grown man and this 17-year-old, which also sounds creepy when you strip the art away from it. In this film full of lush cinematography, moving performances, and groundbreaking visual effects that removed Armie Hammer's balls from his short shorts, critics are saying it's visually stunning, transcendent, and one of the most mesmerizing films of the year. While the Peach Farmers Association is saying, that's not why we grow them, but hey, you do you. Lolita. In the sleepy town of Ebbing, Missouri, one wronged mother will right injustice the only way she knows how. Local advertising. In a film with such powerful performances, you'll stop referring to Sam Rockwell as that guy and start referring to him as that guy, you know, from Three Billboards.
What?
Three racists inside Ebbing, Missouri. You've seen him play historical figures, obsessed madmen, and Hawkeye.
No, not that one. The Last of the Mohicans guy. That's the one.
Now, witness Daniel Day-Lewis's stunning farewell performance as an obsessed craftsman who has trouble separating his art from his personal life.
So, Daniel Day-Lewis? Some actor.
Method Man. From Greta Gerwig, the talented actor-director so indie, you've definitely pretended to know about her already, comes a note-perfect coming-of-age story about the most difficult challenge a teenager can face, having to grow up in Sacramento.
I want to go where culture is, like New York.
Who has such a tough time navigating her friendships, boyfriends, and family, you'll almost forgive her for defending Crash by the Dave Matthews Band.
I hate this song.
I love it.
Who am I to talk? I listen to Papa Roach in high school.
Put a bird on it. From the best director of all time, according to every anonymous online metric, comes a World War II story so visually beautiful, so clinically brutal, and so needlessly out of sequence, it could only be made by Christopher Nolan. Not everything has to be a puzzle box, Chris. Saving Lots of Privates. From two-time Academy Award-winning director Steven Spielberg, the Academy Award-winning writer of Spotlight, two-time Academy Award winner Tom Hanks, and 21-time Academy Award nominee Meryl Streep, comes a timely movie about the media resisting an unpopular Republican president in a film so calculated to win Oscars, they may as well have just put Academy Award nominee in the title. Academy Award nominee The Post. From the production company that's gone from the Teen Choice Awards to the Academy Awards comes the directing debut of the player formerly known as Mouse Cop in a horror thriller that holds a mirror up to smug, affluent white progressives. In other words, the Academy? Well, it's an honor just to be nominated, right guys? Let the white ones in. Starring.
The following comic book movies that nerds think were snubbed in the categories they should have been nominated for.
Thor Ragnarok for Best Goldblum. Wonder Woman for Best Two-Thirds of a Movie. Justice League for Best Picture, but only the Snyder Cut. Logan for Best Picture for people who only saw comic book movies last year. Guardians 2 for Best Movie You Enjoyed That Immediately Forgot About. Spider-Man Homecoming for Best Lack of an Origin Story. And Guardians for Best Russian Superhero Movie I Only Saw a Trailer For, but holy sh**, one of them turns into a bear? How'd I miss this one? The Oscars.
Man, with all the sexual harassment exposed this year, this is going to be a really sensitive emotional ceremony. Take it away, host of the Man Show.
Well, you guys excited about seeing a few girls jump on trampolines?